Thank you for joining us for this episode. If you have any questions about this week's episode, or maybe a suggestion for future episodes you'd like us to explore, please contact us through our website at eqfit.org. For more information and inspiration, connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube at EQFit. What we're going to focus on today is something that if you get it right in your organization, it's going to fix a lot of problems. And frankly, it's going to open up the door to many, many new opportunities and the ability to take advantage of those opportunities. So what are we talking about? We're talking about growing capacity in teams. How do we do that? Well, in the context of organizational performance, team capacity represents the team's ability to utilize its collective talents and its resources effectively. When team members tap into their full potential, they bring their best ideas, their best energy, they collaborate better, they communicate better, and they just have a better overall culture and even a energized spirit to what they're doing. When they have high motivation, along with that high realized potential, that motivation helps them to persevere through challenges, to stay engaged, and to drive things forward. That's what we're going to focus on today. So how do we build capacity in our teams? And I'll say it starts with leadership. It always starts with leadership. And I'll dive deeper into that in a minute. But for now, let's just define these two major pillars of growing capacity. The first one is realizing full potential, discovering the strengths, talents, and skills each individual brings to the table, encouraging continuous learning and professional development. That's critical. Otherwise, you're not going to increase capacity. And by the way, you're going to hear this throughout today. Increasing capacity allows you to increase competence. Increasing competence allows you to increase capacity. It's a wonderful cycle that if you get into that continuous learning and development mode, you're just going to be able to do so many more things than maybe you're able to do right now. The third thing under realizing full potential is providing the environment and the resources necessary for team members to grow. Now, the second major column or pillar that supports growing capacity in teams is increasing motivation. Creating purpose and meaning that aligns with individual and organizational goals. So this is bringing together the goals of the individual and aligning those with the goals of the organization so that you can significantly enhance motivation. External motivators are notoriously unreliable. Money, status, recognition, all of those kinds of things. Intrinsic, internal motivators, your values, your beliefs, your commitments, those are highly reliable. So we want to increase that intrinsic motivation. And I wanted to define those two for those who may not be as aware of what those mean, because that's what we're focused on here, is individual intrinsic motivation, which then escalates into team intrinsic motivation. The second thing we can do under increasing motivation, recognize and reward progress to keep spirits high. And the third thing, ensure psychological safety. And this is a big one. Ensure psychological safety so that people feel comfortable voicing their ideas and taking risks. This is so critical. Creating a culture of constructive feedback. where people feel safe to communicate and provide feedback is it's so important. And it is one of the easy steps to increasing capacity in our teams. Well, first, let's look at the downside. What happens when we don't have some of these things in place? Over the years, I've observed organizations struggling with a litany of different problems. Lack of leadership, missed deadlines, dysfunctional teams, toxic cultures, disengaged employees, and slow or no growth. While the solutions for each organization may be somewhat different, there's one common factor in all of these situations. At the heart of all of these challenges is limited capacity. It's not the only thing, but it's a big thing. It may not be just limited capacity in a leader or limited capacity in a team member, but overall, if you're in a place where there is limited capacity in people, then it's going to affect the capacity of the entire organization. Now, I want to ask you to think about the following things that I'm going to share with you and see if any of these resonate with you or do you see any of these in your organization. Lack of leadership. Okay, now how does lack of capacity contribute to this? Insufficient development. Leaders who haven't reached their own potential or maintained a high level of motivation often lack the resilience and the vision to lead other people. This gap can stem from inadequate training, poor self-awareness, or an environment that doesn't encourage leadership growth. Here's another area where lack of leadership can impact capacity: weak decision-making. When leaders are stretched too thin or lack the motivation to invest in problem-solving, they struggle to make timely, effective decisions. This leads to uncertainty within the team and a perception that nobody's really in charge. And here's another area: minimal role modeling. High capacity leaders model traits such as accountability, adaptability, and empathy. Conversely, leaders with low capacity fail to set behavioral standards, which can ripple throughout the organization, and that reduces overall trust and engagement. Now, I always like to provide a proof point to what I'm saying, so it isn't just me saying something, but this is really coming out of research and data that we can rely on. I'm all about actionable data, and I'm certified in all kinds of assessments. I use different assessments for different things with people and with organizations and with leaders and teams for a very specific reason, because we have to have good data to make good decisions. Better data, better decisions. That's kind of my motto. Well, let me give you that proof source. According to a Gallup study, managers account for at least 70% of the variance in employee engagement. What does that mean? It just basically means the majority of whether an employee is going to be engaged or not is determined by their manager or their leader. Leaders with low capacity are less likely to engage and inspire team members, often leading to a negative trickle-down effect. That's bad enough, isn't it? That's just number one. Number two, missed deadlines. Now, how does lack of capacity contribute to that? Inefficient task execution. Teams that don't tap into their full potential often struggle with basic project management and time allocation. This can be due to low motivation or unclear understanding of each member's strengths and what they can bring to the table. The second part here, under missed deadlines, poor collaboration. When individuals lack motivation or feel unsupported, they may not communicate roadblocks or resource needs effectively. This leads to last-minute scrambles, delays, and utterly missed deadlines. None of that's good, right? And the third area under missed deadlines, inadequate initiative. A motivated team with robust capacity will proactively anticipate challenges and they will course correct. Teams suffering from low capacity fail to plan ahead or adapt quickly, which makes deadlines difficult to meet. What's the proof point for this? A Harvard Business Review article on project success that underscores the importance of clear communication and robust team capacity for timely project completion. Teams that lack these elements see a higher rate of deadline failure, which is often tied to disorganization and low morale. That's number two. Number three, it does get better. Trust me, it does get better. Number three, dysfunctional teams. How does a lack of capacity contribute to a dysfunctional team? Well, low trust, high conflict. Realizing full potential within a team typically fosters confidence and mutual respect. When capacity is low, individuals may feel insecure about their roles, leading to defensive or even combative behaviors. Second point here, under dysfunctional teams, misaligned goals. With low motivation and underutilized talent, team members often focus on individual rather than collective success. This misalignment can lead to competing priorities and resentment. This is a very real thing. I see this in a lot of organizations, and it's very unfortunate, but it's something that can be reasonably easily resolved. The third point under dysfunctional teams, poor problem solving. And this is a big one. I'm dealing with several clients right now that we are focused specifically on growing the ability within team members and leaders to solve problems. A lack of shared motivation undermines collaborative problem solving. Consequently, conflicts go unresolved and interpersonal tensions escalate. You can see how much this stuff impacts the performance of a team and the performance of an organization. What's the proof point here? Well, Lencioni's Five Dysfunctions of a Team highlights trust as the foundational element of team effectiveness. Low-capacity teams often fail to build that trust, which can derail performance and morale. Number four. Now remember, we're still talking about the downside. That means if you've got low capacity, what are the downsides of that and the potential issues, problems, challenges, whatever your name or label you want to put on it. But we will get to the upside here in a few minutes. Toxic cultures. Now, how does a lack of capacity correlate with a toxic culture? Neglectful or negative leadership. Leaders who have not developed their own capacity may rule through fear or indifference, and a lot of times I would add favoritism to that. I see a lot of that in toxic cultures. This sets a precedent that toxic behaviors, gossip, backstabbing, blame shifting, are acceptable. And of course we know those are not acceptable. Number two point under this area of toxic cultures, erosion of values. Without a strong sense of purpose or motivation, core values like respect, integrity, and collaboration can be overlooked. That leads to an environment where unethical or disrespectful actions go unchecked. And I love the phrase from the book In Everyone Culture by Keegan and Leahy that says, basically, organizations get the culture they tolerate. if you think about that, it is very, very true. We get the culture or the behavior that we tolerate. That's sobering to think about. But the beauty of that is we can change that. We can design something better and be intentionable and be intentional on changing it to something better, a better culture. The third area here under this toxic culture is high stress, low support. Overwhelmed employees are more prone to burnout and frustration. And if you've heard anything I've done in the past where I talked about burnout, burnout is a very, very serious scenario for anybody. It is literally a feeling of hopelessness that can lead to some very, very bad outcomes. So don't treat burnout as some thing that we can be flippant about. It has very serious consequences. In turn, they can spread negativity to their peers. Emotions are contagious. I say that a lot. I'll say it again right now. Emotions are contagious. If you've got excited, energetic people, that's going to be contagious. If your team members are down, if they're angry, if they're upset, if they're fearful, if there's a lot of stress and anxiety and worry, that's contagious too. So a leader's job is to help create the right culture and cultivate the right culture for high levels of team performance. What happens in a situation like that is a team goes into survival mode, and it fuels a toxic dynamic rather than fostering growth and support. Well, where does all of this come from? The Society of Human Resource Management, in its 2020 culture report, found that toxic work environments contribute significantly to turnover, which costs businesses billions of dollars every year. This toxicity often originates from leadership gaps and low collective capacity. I'm going to put in a shameless plug here, and I'm going to do it because I think it's important. My partner, Dr. Chuck Coker, and I are about ready to release an online course called The Art of Emotionally Intelligent Leadership. And the reason I'm saying anything about it here, I don't want this to be a commercial, but there is a huge gap in the ability for leaders to understand how to leverage the skills of emotional intelligence to bring about better outcomes for themselves and for their teams and for their organization. Because so much of what we're talking about, if you dig deep enough, there are emotional drivers going on in people. People, emotions drive people, people drive performance. That's a saying from 6 Seconds that I use over and over and over again. We just need to be aware that these things can be resolved. And it really isn't even that difficult when we bring them out into the light of day, when they aren't just some nebulous thing that we don't feel like we can get our hands around. We can get our brains and our hands around this stuff. We do it every day in the work that we do and I do with my clients. And when you start to see that transformation, it is amazing. It is unbelievable how cultures can change, how leaders can grow, how teams can grow and become more capable and more competent. But there has to be a drive and a motivation for that growth. And that's what we're talking about here. Number 5 under the downsides, disengaged employees. Minimal growth opportunities. When potential isn't recognized or nurtured, employees see little reason to invest discretionary effort. They become passive rather than proactive, reducing overall engagement. You've heard terms like quiet quitting, and we know that the younger generations today are more interested in growth opportunities than how many dollars are in their paycheck. Sure, the dollars are important. We all have to live, right? We have to be able to pay our bills. But what is driving so many people to move to different organizations in today's marketplace is, what are you going to invest in my growth as an employee? That's a very big deal. And that's why we're seeing an explosion of interest in what the kinds of things that I do in professional development, leadership development, organizational development, team development, emotional intelligence, behavioral understandings. There's so much going on. And I know there's a lot of noise out there, which is why I try to break things down in these episodes to help you understand what's truly important and what you can do with these things. What's the reality of all of this? The second thing under disengaged employees is misaligned incentives. Without understanding individual motivators, what motivates a person, leaders fail to connect employees' work to their personal or career goals. Well, that's a recipe for failure when it comes to motivating people. And the last one is poor recognition and feedback. The last Gallup study that I saw, and that's been a while ago that I saw this, but 68% of employees never get any feedback. That's an incredible statistic. And frankly, it's sad. It's very sad. So we need to enhance that recognition and feedback loop. We need to do it in a way that makes sense, but we need to do it because without it, everything's disconnected and disengaged. And that's not where we want to be. Gallup's engagement research says that about 35% of U.S. employees are actively engaged at work. That's about a third of our employees are actually engaged. Now, the last one I'm going to talk about when it comes to the downside of lack of capacity is slow or no growth. How does lack of capacity work with that? Stagnant innovation. A team lacking full potential seldom explores new ideas or technologies. Without motivation, employees take fewer risks, slowing innovation to a crawl. Second point, limited scalability. As projects expand or the market shifts, organizations with low capacity teams often cannot scale efficiently. They remain stuck in reactive modes of operation rather than pursuing strategic or proactive initiatives. The third point here, ineffective strategic execution. Growth requires coordinated action across multiple dimensions. Without robust capacity, motivated talent leveraging their strengths, big picture plans remain on paper, leading to missed market opportunities and stagnation. McKinsey and Company put out a study. Companies that effectively tap into employees' potential and sustain high motivation levels outperform their peers in revenue and profitability. Conversely, organizations with low capacity teams struggle to maintain or expand their market presence. This is kind of a life and death issue when it comes to an organization or even a team, right? I mean, there is no staying the same. You're growing or you're dying in business terms or in organizational terms. So we need to be very aware of that. A lack of capacity, which is defined by underutilized potential and low motivation, makes it almost impossible for organizations to function at high levels. Leaders who fail to develop their own capacity and that of their team members inadvertently create environments which are rife with weak leadership, missed deadlines, team dysfunction, toxic cultures, employee disengagement, and stagnated growth. Okay, let's start to look at the upside. The reason I spend so much time talking about the downside of capacity when there's low capacity or capacity is not growing in a leader, in their team, in the organization, I think it's very important that you take a honest look at where you are right now and see if any of those things resonate with you. Do you see those things in your team, in your organization? Now, let's look at the upside of this. Teams with excellent capacity or growing capacity, high engagement and productivity, that's the first element we look for. According to Gallup study on workplace engagement, teams that maximize potential and motivation report increased productivity by up to 21%. Think about that a minute. If you could increase your productivity in yourself and your team members by 21%, that's like getting another day in your week. I mean, that's an incredible increase in productivity. You're getting 6 days of work, but you're doing it in 5 days. You're just doing it through increases in productivity and efficiencies. Positive and proactive culture. Such teams proactively solve problems, and this is a big deal. I see the majority of the organizations that I talk to and work with are in reactive mode, not proactive mode. And there is a huge difference in profitability, productivity, and frankly, just a sense of a healthy and vibrant culture when you can be in that proactive versus reactive mode. They exhibit strong collaboration. They're open to new ideas and innovations. Again, really, really important. Adaptability and resilience. This is so good and so important in our world today. With abundant capacity, teams handle change more effectively. They're able to pivot quickly in response to market or organizational shifts. So this thing of adaptability and resilience, I would put it as a top priority. And I can tell you, both of those things, adaptability and resilience, have their foundation in having strong emotional intelligence in your leaders, in your team members, and in your organization. Because adaptability and resilience are directly impacted by the emotional environment and the emotional load that people are in. And what emotional load are they carrying? How do they deal with their emotions? Do they suppress them? Do they express them? Neither one of those are great. They need to navigate them well. And that is a direct skill of emotional intelligence. So let's talk about the leader's role in building capacity. Your ability as a leader to recognize and leverage team member strengths while also addressing areas needing development is the key catalyst for expanding capacity. Here's some critical aspects a leader influences. First, it's behavior. Leaders model the desired behaviors such as integrity, consistency, and open communication. And that shapes team normals and expectations. Normal behavior, you know, what do we really want to see out there? Setting clear examples of accountability and transparency encourages similar behaviors throughout the team. The second area, communication. Open, consistent communication ensures alignment around goals and it reduces misunderstandings. And so much of the reason people get stuck is because there's uncertainty. How do we offset that? Better communication, better goal setting, better understanding of expectations. Leaders skilled in active listening and empathy foster trust and clarity. And I'm telling you what, the more trust and clarity you can get in your team, the better off all of you are going to be. The third thing, leadership style. Transformational leaders I'm talking about leaders who people want to follow, inspire and challenge their teams to unlock higher levels of commitment and innovation. So leadership, remember, is about inspiration and influence and all of those kinds of things. Management is about do this task, do it in this amount of time, do it this way, do it right, check the box. That's management, very task-oriented. Leadership is all about people. It's about inspiring, guiding, leading, encouraging, coaching, all of those things that raises the level of the individual's desire to engage at a higher level. Servant leaders, I use that term very deliberately. Servant leaders focus on facilitating growth and development in others, building strong bonds and loyalty. That is a wonderful model of leadership. Number four, goal setting. Specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. Those are SMART goals. That helps channel potential into actionable outcomes. That's a way to unlock unrealized potential in people. Setting stretch goals can motivate teams to go beyond their comfort zones, fostering continuous growth. Number five, relationships. Now this, remember, is all about what a leader can do to grow capacity in themselves and their team. Leaders who cultivate healthy team relationships reduce conflict, and they build supportive networks that improve morale and motivation. Strong team relationships also enhance collaboration and problem solving. And that happens faster when we have good relationships, when there's respect, when we build trust with each other. And number six here for the leader is people and social skills. Emotional intelligence plays a large role in how effectively leaders manage diverse personalities, communicate empathy, and diffuse tension. So let's think about that a minute. Not everybody's going to have the same personality style. We know that. I use those personality assessments all the time. And people have very different places that they come from and operate from. But a good leader understands that. As a matter of fact, so much of the work that Chuck Coker and I have done together revolves around understanding people in the many different dimensions: personality, mindsets and motivators, habits, emotional intelligence, how they resolve conflict, how they build trust, how trustworthy are they. There's so many elements, but not to overwhelm you, but to say there is a pathway to understand all of that. If you solve that equation in your leadership, you will be one of the top leaders around. You will be a leader everybody wants to follow. So as we kind of wind this portion down around what can a leader do, a leader's ability to connect with each person fosters a sense of belonging, which amplifies overall team capacity. So now we've looked at what a leader can do. How do we assess these things? Because if we can't measure these skills, then it's just going to be a trial and error process. But the good news is we can. If you've been following this recent series on measuring the four C's that are so important to leadership and to organizations, character, competence, chemistry, capacity, you'll see that I've been talking about the same three groups of assessments. Now, there are other assessments I may bring into play when I'm doing this work with people, but let's just stick with these three because when you put them together, they give such a wonderful, multidimensional look at leaders, at team members, at teams as a whole. And then I'm going to add one assessment today to the three that I've been talking about that is specific to measuring the team environment. And where is the team in five critical success factors? So let's start with mindsets and motivators. This assessment examines the core drivers and values that shape a leader's and a team member's motivations. By identifying what truly drives each person, whether it's achievement or recognition, collaboration, innovation, whatever it is, leaders can tailor their approach to capitalize on these motivators. And when I talked earlier about intrinsic motivation, this is how we get there. This is how we open the window so we can see clearly what are the things that motivate this individual from the inside out, their intrinsic motivation. The second assessment type, of course, is emotional intelligence or EQ assessments. And specifically, emotional intelligence is crucial for leaders in managing the relationships, in conflict resolution, in communication. Evaluating self-awareness, self-regulation, social awareness, relationship management, all of those things, motivation, empathy, that helps a leader address blind spots that could be limiting capacity, both in themselves and in their team members. Number three is the habit story assessment. This assessment delves into the habitual actions and narratives that guide a leader's daily behaviors. About 46% of our daily actions and decisions are habitual. That just basically means without much thought or consideration of any kind. Well, if about half of what we do every day is by habit, we need to take that seriously. We need to make sure that they're productive habits, not counterproductive habits. Understanding these deeply ingrained habits allows leaders to make targeted shifts that increase their ability to realize potential in themselves and in their team members and sustain motivation over time. It's not enough just to motivate somebody for an event or for a week. You've got to be able to sustain motivation over time. And then the fourth one, and the one that I'm adding today, is what I call the Team Vital Signs Assessment from 6 Seconds. This assessment measures the five critical success factors for a team: trust, execution, motivation, teamwork, and change. Now, when I say change, I'm talking about the ability to navigate change well. You know, even in the face of challenge or stress or pressure, the team navigates change well. They embrace it. They look at it as opportunity, not a problem. That's what that change is talking about. Again, trust, execution, motivation, teamwork, and change. Gaining actionable data, providing clarity on team strengths, gaps, and opportunities for growth. That's what we're getting out of this assessment. And above and beyond that, it includes open-ended questions for team members to share deeper insights into the team culture, into the leadership impact, and into anything related to the functioning of the team. Now, how do we put those to use? Well, believe it or not, it can help us in hiring right, so that we make sure that we hire right fit talent. We can use it to develop people, and especially leaders to develop themselves, or organizations to develop their leaders. That's another area where we can use that. And we can also use that very effectively in creating cultures that foster increased capacity. If you think about knowing these different things of, you know, whether it's habits or whether it's personalities or emotional intelligence or the five critical success factors of a team, if you know those things, think about how that empowers you to cultivate the right culture, and even on top of that, to create an environment where people can choose to engage at higher levels. And there's one more element here that I want to talk about, and that is you enhance your capacity to increase your competence. Consistent application of these assessment insights leads to continuous improvement, and that allows competence to grow. So these two things are directly connected. As we increase capacity, we can increase competence. As we become more competent, it gives us the ability to continue to increase capacity. And that is how people grow. It's how leaders grow. It's how organizations grow in healthy ways. And that's what we need. By investing time in understanding leadership styles, team core motivators, emotional intelligence levels, their habits that shape daily actions, you can create a greater capacity at every level of the organization. This leads to better hiring decisions, more targeted leadership development, and ultimately a culture of high performance. Let me leave you with this thought. By measuring the capacity of a leader's ability to grow capacity and a team's current capacity, by measuring the critical components of realizing potential and motivation, using the assessments we've talked about, you can create high-impact leadership approaches, strategies, plans, tactics. All of that can happen when you have this actionable data at your fingertips. This method not only propels individual and team success, but also fosters an organizational culture poised to thrive in our competitive marketplace today. Thank you for joining us for this episode. If you have any questions about this week's episode, or maybe a suggestion for future episodes you'd like us to explore, please contact us through our website at eqfit.org. For more information and inspiration, connect with us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and YouTube at eqfit.org.